This is our last message in this series for now. We're all trying to make sense out of life on planet Earth. We had to go for my grandfather yesterday, and family gathered around. I got to share the gospel, the truth from Psalm 90. And great opportunity, but it's again a reminder that life is short and we need to figure it out at some point. We need to understand. And we saw the Bible speaks much to that. Solomon, he wrestled with significance. He decided life was empty and he became an idolater as he wrestled with significance. Of course, that wasn't his answer, because those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. That young man whose testimony we just watched would have said that's what he was doing. He was seeking for significance in all of the wrong places, all of the wrong things. So we need this change in focus. And we saw the struggle of the two kingdoms as well. There's the world's value system and God's value system. And so we need to change our focus, living in a physical world, living in the middle of the evil world system. We need to change our focus to seek a better treasure in this world. And to seek the only treasure that matters. God, God Himself is the treasure. Your steadfast love is better than life. And because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. God Himself is the treasure. You always feel like that? Every day? It's a challenge, isn't it? We live in a physical world with physical pulls, physical desires. Our hearts, our own desires get in the way. God Himself is the treasure. He is the only thing ultimately worth seeking. We find pleasure and joy in God. And because God is our God, life is good. Nothing, of course, can take God from you. Nothing. Everything else in this world goes away, doesn't it? Even the most precious and intimate relationships end. We all die. Life changes. Life changes all the time. We saw that the call to Christians is to humble yourself. Humility, that's what God calls great. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Those in authority over them are called benefactors. Hear this today. Any fool can be arrogant. That doesn't make you great. Everybody's arrogant in this world. Any fool can be arrogant. Humble, that takes work. Humility, that's an act of the Spirit of God. And that is greatness. To humble yourself, to see yourself rightly. And of course, Jesus was our ultimate example of that. Their mindset was worldly. The kingdom of the Gentiles do what you're doing, what you're seeking, as we saw last week. God values the lowly. Calling to him a child, he put him in the midst and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." God values the lowly. And of course, Jesus humbled himself, as we remember this weekend. Who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus came, God came in the flesh, humbled himself, and gave us that ultimate example as he died for our sins. As we've been seeing all along here, the offer of the life that God has for you today is peace. I love this verse. This is one I think would be good for all of us to memorize. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We live in a world that's desperately in need of rest, isn't it? I would imagine that in your world, you experience this need for rest at times. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, humble, lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus is telling us in this, I understand your struggle to make sense out of this mess that you now live in, this broken, this fallen world. I understand your struggle. I understand the pulls of the evil world system and their desires and their values and the things that they throw at you. I understand that. But you will never find significance. You will never find rest for your soul. Life will never make sense until you come to me. Come to me. And he has this promise here. Come to me, you who are laboring and are heavy laden. Can you imagine what it was like to live under not just the Mosaic law, but the added Pharisaic law? Can you imagine what that felt like daily? Never measuring up? Laboring, trying to do your best, never making the cut. He says, come to me. All who labor are heavy laden, I will give you rest. What an amazing verse. Today, of course, Resurrection Sunday, where we remember that Christ rose from the dead. And we're going to remember and see this morning for a little while how the resurrection makes such a difference in our search for significance and meaning. Read this passage with me. After the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Jesus Christ, the tomb was empty. Can you imagine if you pulled guard duty that day? You know, oh, hey guys, go guard that tomb. What, regarding a dead guy? Really? All right, I guess. That's pretty easy. That wasn't so easy, was it? Right? The angel showed up. Oh man, what did I get myself into today? He's risen. And God left us no doubt the angel, appearance like a lightning, his clothing as white as snow. And his body, of course, was gone because he was raised. Pray with me once again. We'll consider some truths of the resurrection. God, thank you for your grace. You are way too good to us, and we daily, oftentimes throughout the day, see your hand at work in our lives in so many ways that it's stunning. You are a great God, and we're thankful for your love to love us enough to come in flesh, to die for our sins, to rise again so that we know for sure your sacrifice was acceptable and that the payment for sin was complete. I thank you for the hope of the resurrection that makes sense out of this life, that shows us why some of those things we've already been studying are true. Because as we lay up treasure in heaven, there is a future that's different than the present. And it's better. And that's where we can put our hope. Help us today as we consider some of these truths. God, encourage our hearts. And Lord, just use your word in our lives in whatever way is most appropriate. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Resurrection Sunday. Some people would call it Easter. I choose not to, not for any particular reason, just a personal thing. Except in certain company, I suppose I called it Easter yesterday. It's more a word people understand. Some say that Easter has pagan roots, and that's why they don't like the word. That's not actually true. That's something that people just throw out there. We know for sure when Jesus rose from the dead by following the calendar of the Passover. It's just, you can just figure it out. It has nothing to do with whatever spring celebration or whatever may have been. People attributed that later. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, Resurrection Sunday, is one of the most important truths of all of history, that Christ rose from the dead. This account is in all four Gospels, one of the few things that is in all four Gospels. We remember that through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were released from the slavery of sin. The devil was defeated. Death was defeated, ultimately, as we read already. The law is fulfilled. The sacrificial system is ended. We can be right with God, for sure. And we have new life, very important, as we talk about this life and significance. So you can safely say this morning, as you think about life, purpose of life, point of life, what's going to make life matter, The resurrection is critical. It's very important. It changes everything. It changes everything about our experience here. Think about that. Just simple terms. If you were living life here, and Paul treats this in 1 Corinthians, that passage we looked at, if you were to live life here as if there was no resurrection, there's no hope for you, this is it. You have this span of years, that's it. If you lived your life like that, your life would be radically changed, wouldn't it? This life would be something you better really take advantage of. But if you understand that this life, as the Bible tells us, is a wisp, it's a vapor, it's a mist, and then there is all of eternity where we can't even put a number on it to understand what eternity is to follow, but this life impacts that, then you would live your life differently as well. The resurrection changes everything, everything that we think about life. At least two ways the resurrection helps us with purpose and meaning. First of all, is like we're talking about this future hope. This is a passage, part of that passage earlier that we read. In fact, if Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, for as by man came death, as by man also comes the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. There was no death in this world until Adam and Eve sinned. In Adam all die. Death passes on to us. Now it's our experience. In Adam all die. So as in Adam all die, Christ had to come as a real man. Christ comes as a real man to die for us, to put death to death. That's good news, isn't it? You know, we have this experience. I shared this at that funeral yesterday. We have this experience. Everyone here will die. Right? It's just the reality. It's the sad reality. Everyone will die. What are you going to do about it? Well, Christ came and he took care of that. And so the resurrection changes how we think about life. Death does not end our story. Death does not end our story. Can you imagine if you don't know Christ standing at the grave of the person that you love most in the world and believing their story is over? How hopeless is that? But we know death does not end our story. There is so much more because Christ has risen from the dead. This life is not everything, and there will be eternity. And that eternity is something that we can seek, eternity to be gained. Remember with Solomon, he wrestled with that. He lamented death. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Who knows whether he'll be wise or a fool, yet he'll be master of all which I toiled and use my wisdom under the sun. This is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair over the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is vanity and great evil. It's kind of upside down the way our culture, especially my grandparents, my grandfather died. They lived to really try to bless the next generation. I want to leave something for the next generation. Solomon's saying, seriously? I got to work for all of this, pour my life out, and some fool's going to get it. That's basically what he's saying. He just despaired over life. The things don't last. The things that the world labors for don't last. Cry. I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. Its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, the breath of the Lord blows on it, and people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Things in this world will let you down because of death. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown imperishable is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Your future is so much better than your now. You get a perfect body. You get newness. You get the flesh taken away. Won't that be a relief? Don't you hate carrying this flesh with you? Don't you? I hate it. I hate it. I accept it. You know, it's God's plan right now, but I hate it. I hate those things about me that are not holy. I hate it. It's part of this life. Not forever. Not forever. We get a new body with no sin. So the resurrection is much about our future hope, a perfect future. Eternity is much longer than the now, and it will be perfect. It won't be with the pains and the angst and the hurts and the loss and all of the things that we experience now. The Bible speaks to a future reward as well. Not going to talk too much about this because it's very, it's not the clearest thing. Oh yeah, I forgot about this verse. If in Christ we hope in this life only, we are of all people to be most pitied. So think about how serious that is. God says, all right, I want you to live a life of self-denial, serving other people, loving other people, and sacrifice, and then you're dead. Yay! We would be most pitied of all. But, of course, we know much more than that. A future reward. I said, this is a complicated thing and what this even means, but there is the topic, at least, that there is a future reward. And we certainly know heaven is the ultimate reward. God is there. God himself we gain. But notice these verses anyway. We are of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and home with the Lord. So that we're home away, we must make it our aim to please him, because we must all appear before the judgment seat in the Christ to receive what is due for what he has done in the body, good or evil. So the things that we do in this life do make a difference, don't they? There is a future reward of some kind, however God works that out. And certainly we know at least that he is our reward. So the resurrection changes our goals. It changes our goals in life. And Jesus used that vivid imagery in some of the last passages that we looked at over the last few weeks, of just the foolishness of storing up wealth or point of life, purpose, anything that drives you here, when you know thieves are going to break in and steal, moss and rust is going to destroy it, death is going to end it, and you put all your focus and energy on this life and making this life matter, when you know that it's going to let you down. And it's so short, when in comparison with eternity, that's forever. Why do people do that? In the world, this life is all that people have. This is why the world clamors for the things that it clamors for. It's all they've got. They have no other place to find their hope. We have a future hope, and so we live for the reward. I'm going to read this passage. As they heard these things, and so this is a follow-up from that Luke conversation that they're saying, who gets to be the greatest? And so Jesus has a little follow-up teaching here. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, because they supposed the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. And again, that's their mindset. Okay, kingdom of God, Jesus is going to start to reign. I want to be first in command. I want to be second place. I want to be the guy right behind Jesus. So I got to hurry up and get my position. And so now Jesus starts to teach them. A nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas, and to them, engage in business until I come. But his citizens hated him, sent a delegation after him saying, that we do not want this man to reign over us. And when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants who had given him the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, you are over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, here is your mina, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew I was a severe man, taking what I didn't deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming, I might have collected it with interest. Then he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. They said to him, Lord, he has 10 minas. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not even what he has, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Pretty soon. There's a lot in that passage, certainly, of future things. But the point is, there is a future of reward. The disciples had temporal goals. They had temporal goals. Because they heard these things, because they thought he was going to reign now, they wanted to reign. They wanted significance. They wanted to be somebody. But they weren't thinking about the future reward, about reward for faithfulness. And of course, in this passage, there's also a reward for faithlessness, isn't there? There's a reward the wicked take those enemies of mine. And notice the reward. Well done. Well done. There's a lot that could be said about this issue of rewards. But the life that we're called to here is just not heaven. It's just not. And you know, the reality is we feel sometimes like we're missing out because we don't get to have the whatevers that the world has or experience the whatever that they experience or seek after this pleasure or this sin or whatever. And sometimes in your mind, let's just be honest, sometimes you may feel like you're gypped. Well, I don't get to do what everybody else gets to do. I don't get to fit in. I don't get to be somebody. I don't get to whatever. And we treat it somehow like God is mean and holding back something from you. We know the opposite is true. He's protecting us. He's protecting us. That's the way the disciples were thinking. I just want my joy now. I just want what I want now. I want to be somebody. I want to feel something. I want to see something. I want to put my hands on something. And Jesus is pointing us forward and saying, that's all you want? You just want a little something now? Really? You know, if you live for me and you live my way and you seek me, you're going to stand before me one day. I'm going to look you square in the eye and I'm going to say, well done. Good job, faithful servant. And then I'm going to step like this and I'm going to say, enter into the joy of your Lord. Here you are. Here's a place for you right here. I got this place set for you. This is your place. Come take the high seat. Be crowned. Here's the stuff that I've got for you. Here's the future that I've got for you. Here's the heaven that I've got for you. Think about how stunning that is. Think about how impactful that is on our life today. Our future hope. Perfect, amazing future. Taking that and exchanging it for the worldly goals that the disciples were seeking after, that our world clamors for, the things that we ourselves are lured towards as Christians. Whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please God. It simplifies life, doesn't it? Doesn't it simplify life? My number one goal is just to please God. Please God in this life, if I'm home, if I'm away. I just want to please God. I just want God to be pleased with me. I want to live for that moment. I want to live for that time when God can look at me and say, well done. Good job. You were faithful. God himself, as we talked about, is the reward. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The former things have passed away. It says that there's not going to be a temple in the New Jerusalem. That doesn't make any sense, right? God will be there. He doesn't need a temple. God will be in the midst. God himself. And it's in the Bible talks about this moving from heaven. You know, I always think that's funny when someone says, you're going to be in heaven forever. And you're going to be lonely. Because God's heaven, God's temple in heaven, his throne in heaven is going to be moved to the new earth. He's going to be there. What a future that we have. God himself is a reward. The resurrection of Jesus Christ renews our hope. Remember back with me, and we think when this issue of figuring out what life is all about entered into the scene. Adam and Eve, when God created everything, it was perfect. And Adam and Eve did not have the struggle that we have today. Life was simple. They could relate to God. They could talk to God. They knew God. There was no sin of any kind in the world. They didn't have to figure out what to do or what were they, you know, wasn't this confusing and this hurt and the death and the pain and all the stuff of life that we have today. It was simple. Sin entered the world and destroyed everything. It ruined our emotions. It ruined our, darkened our minds. It affected every part of our experience and our story. And now we live in this mess. The resurrection reminds us that there is a renewed purpose and hope for us now. Because Christ has come, because Christ has dealt with the things that cause all of our struggle to make sense out of life. This life is much more than this life. This life is much more than this life. That is good news. For you today, if you struggle with this, I have. If you feel like a failure, if you feel like you're not measuring up, if you feel like you can't ever measure up, if you feel like you're not going to be enough, you probably won't be. That doesn't even matter. That's not the issue. The issue is that you are a being created in the image of the living God who ruined that image both by being born a sinner and by choosing sin. But Christ has redeemed you. Redeemed you. He is your source of significance. He is what makes you significant. He's what makes your life matter, who gives you purpose and hope. So look forward with anticipation and hope. Don't believe the lies that the world tells you about where to find your meaning or why you matter or don't matter. You matter because you matter to Christ. He died for you. Reject the world's value system and their definitions of worth. Think about this. Jesus used illustrations like the blind leading the blind. Why in the world would we listen to the lost talking heads of our world to find out what's going to make life feel good or matter or make sense? They have no clue. Amen? If a blind person said, we're going to go downtown New York City, I'm going to get you across this street. Would you follow them? You know what? I think you can do it. Would you do that? How about just out here on 380? Would you do it? I'm going to get you across 380. Grab my hand. Follow me. I'll make it happen. You know what happened? You ended up on 42nd Street. Thankfully, you weren't killed. The blind leading the blind. They don't have a clue. Why would we follow them? Why would we listen to them? Passage I read earlier. Renewed hope and purpose. We shall not all sleep, but we all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, we shall be changed. This perishable must put on imperishable, this body, immortality. And then it says, will come come to pass what it says, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Change how you view yourself and others. God's measure of success is radically different. Have you noticed, as we've studied this, how many times that God says he looks on the inner person, not the outer person? Have you noticed how many times that God says, I value humility, I value the low, I value the weak? Have you noticed how many times it says, I've even chosen the weak to put to shame the wise, the great? Church, we got to get this message today. Amen? We got to get this message. God values things differently. We need to embrace that value system. This radically impacts your outlook on life. It radically does. Exchanging temporal feelings for God's truth. Exchanging temporal feelings for God's truth and obedience. The end of the matter all has been heard. Fear God. Keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. God will bring every deed into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil. God is the ultimate judge. You can be born here. I tell you, this is an evil world. I mean, the things that you hear and see and experience every day, and the lengths that people go to make others feel like trash is unbelievable to me. It's stunning to me. The things, I was just having a conversation with a guy this weekend that finds himself embroiled in pornography, another one, a new case. It's just rampant in the church. And it sickens me, quite honestly. I'm trying not to be too judgmental, but it just sickens me. And the thoughts that come to my mind is, Christian, are you really going to be the person that pays to have a young girl ripped from her family and abused as a prostitute her whole life? That's what you want to be part of, Christian? And that's just one slice of this evil world that we live in. People are trampled underfoot, seen as less, used and abused and kept down. And the abuse stories that I hear every day over and over, every counselor that comes, I've been abused, I've been abused, I've been abused. Over and over, this world is a dark and twisted place, and people are crushed under this message that you are nothing, you are useless, you are never going to measure up, you can never be, and that's crushing it, and it kills. Reject that message. God sees you differently than other people do. Speak into your experience. I matter. I matter because Jesus Christ died for me. I matter because I was made in the very image of the living God. My life can matter. My life can be full and content apart from the things that the world is clamoring for. If I never get what I want, it is fine. The lines have fallen to me in a good place. God is mine. I will rejoice. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Love the Lord your God. Love people. Simplifies life. Value what is truly valuable. Do you realize if you're born again, if you're a Christian, that you have the living God? Of course you know that, right? Do you realize you have the living God? The living God. Wow. You have a treasure the world will never have. Never. God Himself, the creator of all of this, all of the stuff that everyone wants, would never have been here if God hadn't spoken into existence. Look forward to the reward. Well done. Enter into the joy of your Lord, as He said. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you want that rest today? Do you want that rest today, Christian? Do you want that? I want it. Do you feel that every day? I don't. I wish I did. I wish I could say I did. I got to speak to my heart. No. I'm going to live for what's true. Take my yoke upon you. God's way. Take God's way. Learn from me. Become the yoke fellow of Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is saying to us this morning, come my way. Walk with me. Come with me. Follow me. I'm lowly. You're going to have to be lowly to follow me, right? Two can't walk together unless they're going the same place. The Bible says you can't be the arrogant fool going your own way and Jesus going His way and still walk together. Walk with me. You will find rest for your soul. Rest. What a treasure. Rest for your soul. Life will make sense. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not like the burden that the world wants to saddle you with this morning.